You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
More lies, more lies, more lies, more lies.
Come and get less with me. All the pints are bloody free. Have I told you I've got a high basic salary? Making money, now that's the key.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 142 of the Rig Biz Podcast. My name is Freddie Claude, and we've got the loosest guest we've ever had in 142 weeks on this podcast coming for you shortly. But before we get there, Archie Curzon sat alongside me. How the devil are you, sir?
Mate, I'm well. I'm strong. July is certainly hotting up business-wise.
Yeah, it is.
But not weather-wise.
No.
It's been pretty shambolic.
It's been awful,
I'll come back to that.
Okay.
But yeah, it's going well, mate. We're busy putting the foot on the gas.
Good.
BD-wise. You tend to find that the city sort of slows down during August and then picks back up. Just putting in the hard yards, really, mate. But yeah, I'm strong, mate. Strong. Good to be here, and I'm really looking forward to this week's cast. It's going to be loosey-goosey, baby.
That's wonderful to hear. It looked like you had a really quiet weekend.
Well, I did, actually.
Did,
yeah. I mean, look, one thing I'm known for is the lash.
Yes.
Get on the beers, especially in the summer. I mean, the body is in good shape, mate.
Good.
But this weekend, with the weather being a little bit ropey and not really being able to get out and have a good game of spike ball or even get on the common and toss the pillow about in good weather, I just thought, you know, look, I'm going to take my foot off the gas. And I got myself in a wonderful calorie deficit.
Congratulations.
And just meal prepped 95% of the weekend.
The whole
I know to a lot of people might be like, wow, that's a bit boring.
It's not.
It's actually a lot more fun than you think, because you do all the prep to do the meal prep. I went to the shop. I got the 18 chickens, the 7 bags of rice, the 36 bags of spinach, and then went and got 7 large tubs of Waitrose cottage cheese, which for me, I've tasted a lot of cottage cheese in my life.
I can imagine you have.
It is high net cottage cheese. There's something about it. I think instantly when I take the cottage cheese from Waitrose and put it in my mouth, I feel like I'm already getting gains.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
So,
headed back and just took my time. It was really nice to not be under any pressure to get to bed or, you know, had a long day at work and then had to go through meal prep. I just took the weekend to meal prep. I whacked on a few of our podcasts. By the way, it is my favorite podcast to listen to.
Well, I don't blame you. It's good.
I listened to a couple of podcasts we did back in the day and I've got bloody good chat.
Yeah, yeah.
So I listened to about 111 of our podcasts.
Wow.
And that really got me in the mood. And I just meal prepped through the weekend. And it was wonderful. Really, really wholesome weekend, mate.
Sounds it.
I just love a wholesome weekend.
Well,
there's nothing better.
There's nothing better.
There is nothing better.
There is nothing.
Waking up on a Monday and not being hungover. It is really wholesome. I love saying wholesome. And when I got in the office on Monday, everyone's like, how was your week? I was just really, really wholesome.
Yeah.
Really. really wholesome.
There's also nothing better than a wholesome weekend after you've had an interesting, exciting Friday or Thursday night. And Thursday night, I've just bloody remembered, you were going on that big date.
Yeah.
Bondi agency had set it up for you.
Yeah.
You'd already fallen in love with her. You were following her on Instagram. Yeah. What happened?
Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm more in love than I was last week. Really? I'm just really happy. I haven't been this content in years, Clayton.
Okay.
And that's not just to do with meeting the love of my life. That's also the fact that I had a wholesome weekend. And also, I've got a lot of cash in the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
When you don't have money worries, you really have anxiety. I met a wonderful chica. Look, she's asked me not to name her. She wants me to keep her identity hidden.
Rightly so.
But it was a wonderful evening. I just want to say thank you so much to Bond, the agency, London's premier dating agency. They obviously went and found this beautiful girl who I will call, for the purpose of the podcast, Alex. Not Alex, because that's her name. Laura. Laura. And we went for a wonderful meal at Hakkasan.
Lovely.
Followed by a few cocktails. We laughed. We stared into each other's eyes. Oh. And yeah, look, it's going really, really well. We're actually off to the Cotswolds in a couple of weeks.
Right.
We've booked a sort of long weekend away.
That's
and
so nice.
We're just, you know, take down a couple of overnight bags, some gilets, some Wellington boots, and we're just, I guess we're going to hike to our heart's content. And it's, you're probably seeing a different side to me, Clayton. But like I said last week, love does an amazing thing.
I thought you hated hiking. I thought you thought it was for
like. I do. But
compromise.
We're not going to stay at a hotel. Her family live in the Cotswolds.
Oh right, okay.
To be honest, I just want to see how big my investment is before I really do. You know,
fall in love.
Double
properly.
Down on it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds good. If you guys want to fall in love, if you guys want to meet the one, then all you got to do is click the link below in the podcast notes. Go into the Bond the Agency website. Just fill out your name, address, and a couple of details. It only takes a minute or so, and somebody will give you a ring. Before you know it, you're going to be in love, finding the one, and all your troubles will be gone. Talking about the anxiety, gone forevermore. Follow in the footsteps of Archie Kirsten, why not?
Yeah, I just realised we've now just advertised Bond the Agency again without really meaning to do that. That's
what we like.
It is. It's seamless.
Archie, you said we need to shake this thing up and get on an entertaining, loose, crazy man. And you said we want some sort of exclusive, some guy who's just caused a bit of a ruckus, controversial but wonderful. You said, let's get on Luke Cohen Dickey.
Yeah.
You managed to get him.
Well, I did. And I'm really excited. I get a little bit sweaty and a little bit excited when I get a guest with a double barrel name. I think there's only one thing to be said, which is onside. Chat! Luke Cohen Dickey, can you receive the banter? Over. Can you hear the banter down your end?
Yo, mate, I'm here.
What a wonderful, wonderful thing. To have someone with a double barrel name on the podcast is a dream come true.
Cheers, lads.
How's your Q3 going? All good?
Yeah, not bad, mate.
That's good. Good. Lovely.
That's Q3. Explain.
Q3. Well, when you work in the city, Luke, I'm not sure you've sort of come across my work, but I work in the city in London, and we split the year into quarters. We're really in the sort of beginning of Q3, and I'm just trying to work on my sales pipeline, get the coin in. So yeah, it's going swimmingly. It's a wonderful thing. I like to send my clients emails and say, you know, if you were a client of mine, Luke, I'd say, hi, Luke. I do hope this email finds you well and your Q3 is progressing positively. I was just wondering if you'd like to go for lunch and talk about the weather. Would that be a kind of email you'd like to receive?
If I received it, probably would put it in the junk, mate. Not gonna lie.
Well, I should say we are
delighted. I'm joking. Nah, it's all right.
We are delighted to be joined by England and sales newest recruit in Luke Cohen Dickey. Luke, congrats on the move. But don't you feel a bit bad leaving Sladey for dead? He came on the podcast end of last season and he was really worried with the great exodus of banter from Exeter.
Well, it was out of my hands really, mate. Obviously, I've been at Chiefs for a while, haven't I? But to be fair to him, he's a lone soldier anyway, so he got paid the most, so he can deal with it himself.
Well, it's good to have an exclusive with Mr. Luke Cohen Dickey post his signing for Sale. Now, you're meant to be signing for Montpellier, but being a sort of a hero amongst men, you decided to have a couple of drinks the night before your medical. Sadly, like Archie did in Paris in 2007, James O'Connor in 2013 in Paris, you ended up in a cell for the night. Must have been a great, great piss up. Now, you ended up in a cell in Paris for the 07. We'll hear about that in a second. But talk us through what happened to you, Luke. Come on.
I went over, obviously, in the day. I had all my medical scans for my neck and stuff that day. It was on from about 12 till 7 p.m. at night. went out for some food, had a few beers, and just escalated really. Went to a club, not a club, like a bar club type place. And to be fair to me, mate, it was definitely a misunderstanding because I have been pissed. Like, you can ask any of the boys, when they see me pissed, I'm full blown. I can't remember, I don't know, 8-9 hours of the night. But in this case, I actually can't remember pretty much all of it. We got chucked out of this bar because a glass was smashed off a bar. Obviously, English, intoxicated. The police were called. And before I had any chance to say a word, they just put me in handcuffs. They weren't aggressive about it. I just, you know what I mean? I didn't restrict them. And then they just put me in the back of the car and I was sort of asking what was going on and they weren't really saying anything. Next minute, they took me back to the cell, took my shoes off, put me in the cell, had a nap, woke up, give my shoes back and I walked out. So it was quite a weird feeling. The thing I missed in the morning, it was like a half an hour doc session in the morning. So I had to go back out there anyway.
It's weird you say that. I actually dated an older woman in Clapham, very similar to that. She used to put me in handcuffs in the back of her car, take my shoes off and take her back to mine. And then she'd let me go. She let me go in the morning. So it's actually a lovely experience. I mean, when they're nice to you and they put the handcuffs on, it's a much more pleasant experience.
Yeah.
Than when you, I mean, like I've never been. When I was arrested in Paris during the World Cup, you know, I'd gone out there to support the boys because they absolute fucking love ruggers. And I went there with some other chaperoonies, all dressed in chinos shirts. And we were just marching around being bloody loud, just shouting, England, England. And we're doing a few tea bags and really getting loosey goosey, doing some bum funnels down, you know, underneath the Eiffel Tower. And then next thing you know, police come around and say, guys, je m'appelle Chasse Monsieur. They didn't really understand that kind of banter and they were quite physical with me. Luckily I'd spent, you know, 12 years in boarding school, very used to being that rough and tumble. And so, yeah, spent that night in the cell. That was a bit different. I was in a pretty scary cell.
Right.
But luckily, you know, boarding school does prepare you for jail. I'm very used to being in a room with four sides and not being allowed out,
Lots of nexus.
With a bigger boy in there. So, interesting. There's a lot of similarities between you and me, Luke, actually. We've had quite similar experiences. I mean, Jack Knowlesy and Slady said that you wouldn't like me at all, but I actually think it'd make a pretty good ITVH show, just me and you living together.
Why did they say that?
I don't know. They just said that you might sort of be indifferent to me, but I said, no, he's got a double barrel name. He'll absolutely love my banter. But they did say, Slady did say you would probably enjoy a bum funnel, which is one of my, you know, one of my favorite things to do with the rugby boys in Clapham. It's just, you know, squat over.
It's a classic, mate.
Yeah. And just let the Guinness go in the mouth and then just say chug, chug, chug. So it's really good fun. We normally just do it for debuts, you know, but actually I've just made it one of the things we do every night we're out. So, let me know actually when you're in Clapham or in town, I'll definitely take you out for a bum funnel.
Yeah, 100%, mate.
Okay. Write that down. Because when I, after the email, after this pod, I'm going to write, Luke Kandicki an email, just ask him if the email finds him well. And then just, you know, send him some dates for when we can do a bum funnel.
But you boys also have a lot of similarities and you both got property in Cornwall.
Yeah. Poles Ath for me and Damer Bay are wonderful, wonderful areas. I love to holiday there in the summer, with friends. It's a wonderful place, Cornwall.
Whereabouts are you in Cornwall, Luke?
So parents live in Penzance.
Do you ever go to the slightly more sort of bougie places like, what were you saying, Rock?
Not really, mate. When I was younger, we sort of went to like Paddington and stuff. And also like New Year's Eve, when you're like proper young, like 14, 15, you'd go to St. Ives because they're just bars and you sort of go in there.
Some nice cheekers like roaming around. Yeah. you can go up to them and say, hey, my name's Luke Kandicki. I play a bit of rugby. Fancy coming around the corner and playing spin the bottle.
Don't think we're like that, mate. Not that age, but yeah.
All right. I still try that. Spin the bottle is underrated.
People say
when you get into your 30s, you can't be saying, do you want to play spin the bottle? But honestly, I went to friends of mine the other day. There were three couples and me. I'm single. And we'd had a lovely supper and had some lovely wine, prepared with the food.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the evening, we had this bottle of red wine hanging on the table. And I said, guys, should we play spin the bottle? because it'd be, there's four guys, three girls. We had this really good game of spin a bottle. I snogged two of my best mate's wives.
Oh, God. Well, Luke. how is camp life different under Borthers compared to the Führer, Eddie Jones?
Eddie Jones told Luke to go away when he arrived to a camp, didn't he? You just turned up and he said, oh, no, mate, you got to go, mate.
So the first time I met Eddie, this was coming off 2015 World Cup with Stuart Lancaster. And I was in France again, obviously, had a few beers. Already got told I weren't going to the 2015 World Cup. Obviously, had a few misdemeanors that night. So then I got told I probably won't play again for a while. And then obviously, Lanny was out and Eddie got the job. So my first meeting with one-on-one meeting with Eddie, I sat down on the table and he gave me a crate of 24 cans and just said, whenever I'm thirsty, have a drink, mate. I was like, all right, no problem. So to be fair with Eddie, the first few years didn't really get on too much. Again, quite tough on young guys. But then as soon as you get sort of a bit older and he knows you graft and he's sound. But yeah, there was a time I turned up the only one injured to camp. I normally play around 110, turn up at 119 kilos.
Yeah,
very, very fat. Got my fat testing done in the morning. And then, yeah, I basically took a three-hour cab to London to be there for an hour to get another three-hour cab back because he just abused me for being fat.
Yeah, to be fair, we have nice quite, we have a quite similar policy in our office. Well, we used to, but now they've said we can't do that to girls.
We used to weigh people.
Yeah, well, it was just one of the things. We had girls coming in and they were, you know, for me, I do my business best around the sort of 95 kg mark.
Right.
Anything over that, then I find, you know, business, I'm dead on the phones. Right. I'm dead on the phones. But we had a lovely receptionist called Eleanor, who I always remember. She's married now with two kids. This is about 3 years ago. She had a wonderful chassis. She was from Essex. So I found it very hard to understand most of the things she said, but she had a lovely manner on the phone. She, you know, she'd pick up the phone and she'd be able to send calls straight to your desk. It was wonderful at that. Yeah. And I think she, yeah, into 6 months into having a relationship with another guy, you could see things were getting a little bit sloppy. And then we introduced a weighing method to the whole of the office, not just to women. But I think she found that uncomfortable. And I think we had to pay her off quite significantly. Lawsuit, not me, but my boss. But it is one of the things I think rugby does well. I think that is one thing we should be doing in the city and other industries.
Promote, you know, skin filter.
You know, I think if you did it in school, yeah, you wouldn't have all these fat kids, you know, just, you know, playing computer games and, you know, eating shit.
Well, just finishing up,
I'm starting a political party, okay, and we are driving down the way. We're going to start taxing the fat.
Okay,
okay.
I'll write
and
that
people
down.
Who play hockey in Putney.
Okay,
yeah, write that down. I'll put an email to Luke. I'm going to consider him for a position in the political party when he retires.
Yeah, I'll back that, mate. I'll back that.
Yeah, although I am worried about your addiction to Call of Duty. We'll have to sort of talk about that. You know, maybe.
Nah, we can.
We found out Sladey when we were asking for your, you know, digits to get you on here, and thank you so much for coming on. He was rooming with Joe Marchant, so Joe Marchant's incredibly boring, just drinks tea and listens to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
Who were you rooming with when you were?
Yeah, completely. Will Stew.
What's he like?
He's very strange.
Good strange, though. Good strange. Yeah. Like, nah, he's all right. He's sound. He actually is sound. We're both pretty similar guys. We're quite quiet when we're in the room.
But obviously, Will Stew's a bit weird, but you've done a lot of England camps, a lot of traveling around the world with club and country. Who's the weirdest teammate you've ever shared a room with?
Probably, well, not even with England. It's with Exeter. I shared a room with Ian Whitten once, the OAP at the Chiefs.
Yeah. Follows me on Instagram.
He's a very strange guy. Like, in a rugby team, you're always a bit touchy-feely with the boys. Like, obviously, you don't swing that way, but you do. Ian Whitten is weird. So as soon as you get into the room, depending on the room setup, you'll have to move his bed to the furthest side of the room away from you. He does it well. He does not. So I sleep naked. I'm not allowed to be naked in the room. He finds it really weird. He's basically so anti-homosexual. It's not. He's potentially homosexual. It's nuts.
We're talking about being...
He potentially could be a good one for the political party.
talking about being...
Yeah, he would. No, he really would.
obviously, you want to sleep naked, Luke, but, you know, that's not really crossing the line. But yeah. I swear, isn't Tom Curry a bit of a weird roommate? Didn't you once wake up to something weird there?
Oh, my God. How the hell have I brought this up? Yeah, no, yes. So, Tom Curry, yeah, talk a devil. So, I've only just met his brother properly. So, I'm obviously in sale now, and they're both pretty similar blokes. When you first go to England camp, you ain't got loads of caps. You have like a side by side, so both beds, the double beds, but they're next to each other in the same room. when you they sort of normally do it on aging caps. As soon as you get more, you get an up and down. So at this point, it was probably first few years when I was with England. So I didn't know Tom Curry really well. We're sleeping side by side. It's about 4 a.m. And I hear him like thump out of bed, turns the bathroom light on. And I'm thinking, okay, he'll only be in there 10 minutes. He's either having a piss or a shit. About 25 minutes went on. I still can't sleep. I was like, what is going on? So I just left him to it, work in the morning. I asked him straight. I was like, what are you doing in the bathroom last night? And he went, awkward. The twat was having a wank at 4 in the morning in the toilet when I was trying to sleep before training. Like, I could not believe it. He was about 22 at the time. But what the fuck is he thinking, going to the toilet and having a wank? Like,
no, I
mate, actually, if that's not one of the weirdest things you've heard.
No, I think that's okay. If that helps you perform. I mean, sometimes I'll go into the loo at work sort of 10:30 in the morning after a good strong coffee, and I'll lay flat with my legs up against the cubicle door and just relieve myself. And that really helps me take all the anxiety out. So he was just probably a bit nervous about... But the bath, yeah. It must have, I wonder what his technique was, whether he was standing or lying. I write that because I'll write to Tom and ask him. That's good. I like to know technique.
Yeah, you have to ask him.
Commercial break.
I got a bad disease. I got the biggest bush you've ever seen. And all the cheekers agree. Until I shave it off, I won't be seen. It's bitter, baby, and it ain't that sweet. A fucking big bush, but I'm on my feet. Take me to a shave and let me please be reborn. I be coming back, baby, I be coming back for more. Do you know a place where I can shave my balls? I would pay my money, yes, I pay it all. I cannot forget, but I will not endeavor. Simple pleasure better, but I won't regret it never. When I know how to shave my bush, the girls will wanna suck on my big. When I tap this cheek is behind, I'm gonna give her some of my good time. When I know how to shave my bush, I fucking play with a little tush. When I play with her behind, I'll be the greatest man in all mankind. To be that greatest man, just go to the Manscaped website, put in the code RIGBIZ20, get free delivery on all their products. You're welcome. Luke, let's get back to the start of your international career. When you first came to the squad eight years ago now, you were third choice behind Jamie, Jim George and Dylan.
Dylan Hartley.
Yeah.
I got a great story about it. You'll love this. I was in Clapham once and I saw someone at this. I thought it was Dylan Hartley eating a Greg sausage roll. Big fat guy, sort of dribbling. But it wasn't Dylan Hartley.
Was it?
It was just a builder. It was just a builder. But it was really funny. And I've told Dylan that a number of times and he's now blocked me.
He doesn't like you, does he?
No,
he's slated you and good down the rugby. But what was it like competing against the poshest man in the world, Jamie George, and then Dylan Hartley, the rough and ready Kiwi?
To be fair, Dylan, when I was there, yeah, like you said, he was pretty straightforward. We didn't speak a shed load first year or so. But Jamie's always been sound, to be fair. Jamie's quite a funny guy. The annoying thing is, the guy, obviously, he knows too. Like, he's not in incredible shape, but fuck me, that cunt can run. Sorry for the languages.
I love it. I live alone. He
can run, like, and he's funny. You know when they say like your fat mate's funny, like he's lad, like he's
he
good lad.
Up to that.
Like he'd be a good lad. You'd like to go out and do bum funnels with. I don't know if you'd do a bum funnel, but he'd be good crack on the piss.
No, it's interesting because you know I was talking about the receptionist earlier, Eleanor. I mean, she's now really fat. She's like, she is really fat. She doesn't work for us, but I saw her. But I'd imagine she's very funny now because she's fat.
Luke, you made your debut against France in 2015. Now, when your great mate and Cornish sort of brother, Jack Noel, came on, he told us how messy his debut initiation was. He completely shamed himself in Italy all those years ago. Can you tell us how loose yours was in 2015? Did you sort of shame yourself in the same vein as Nolsey?
No, I can't actually remember doing one at that time. Stuart Lancaster didn't really like drinking culture. I don't know whether it's because of that, but it used to be like, you used to have to drink hell of a lot. It wasn't mental, because obviously it was international. And I think because we were going to France like a day later or 2 days later, I think I didn't actually do anything, to be honest.
That's a good antidote. Well done, Freddie, for your lack of research.
Well, no, I didn't know that he hadn't done an initiation, but he's obviously played Cornish rugby. Now, Cornwall is the staple of like looseness. Apparently, everything's just crazy down there, Nolsey said, especially the rugby scene. Surely there were some crazy initiations when you're growing up as a teenager in Cornwall you had to undertake in Cornwall.
The Chiefs initiations, I think, are worse. They're always frowned upon. Again, I'm not there anymore, so we sort of can speak about. They used to be good, mate. The initiations at Chiefs used to be good because it always used to be thought about. We used to have a few guys involved. Depending on the theme on the social, it depends on what you have to do. There's a lot of piss involved, a lot of nakedness involved.
Yeah,
didn't quite love get that. To the shit, but there was a lot of stuff involved. And it was fought through. But again, I can't really say too much. Probably get in trouble. But they were up there with... with me. I think to be fair, by the end of my social, I think I shat myself at the end of the night. So yeah, it's pretty.
That's why I think we'd get on very well. I mean, let me know if you ever get injured and want to come and have a shit in Clapham. It'd be really good fun. Because I live alone. I've got two guest bedrooms. I have got a daughter. I'm a single father, but I mean, she's young. She won't really understand. But yeah, let me know. That I reckon I would have gone pretty well down in Exeter.
I think you would have done.
I've got lots of friends who went to university there.
Yeah.
They're really good chaperoos. Really good chaperoos.
Are you a big fan of, it looks like a lot of the Exeter lot are, completely obsessed with Mr. Bosch. We've had him on the podcast, Johnny Fisher. Is that his name, Johnny Fisher?
Johnny Fisher.
Yeah, he's a good lad.
His dad is so talented.
I wouldn't say I'm obsessed, but he's...
No, his dad is bloody talented.
Yeah.
People might say in this day and age that, an overweight man just going, bosh, is not talent.
Not enough to build a multi-million pound fortune.
That's talent. Well, and that's what I want to see more of that on TV. Right to Netflix and see if we can get him a bloody deal.
What about a TV show with him and the rugby guy? Rugby guy, him just going like that.
Gerard and him, and then we could then pitch to ITV8, living with the Karen Dickies, and I'd be that kooky friend that is like, hey guys, yeah, put it down, put it in email, carry on.
Luke, you've had some great memories in the game so far, but does anything come close to that league in European double of 2020? Obviously COVID, but we've heard that you guys had some good fun sort of partying in a farm shop or something. What are your recollections of those parties?
Obviously it was a COVID time, so they were pretty anal. Again, was COVID even a thing? So we had a party. Coppers turn up and they find half the blokes, which was mental. As you can believe it, they had us. The weird thing is they had us all on their little cam. They had a cam on their top. There's two coppers, and obviously we're all drunk. So I put my arm around one. Bearing in mind, obviously I'm straight in his face, and I'm the only one out of about eight blokes who didn't get fined. Couldn't believe it. but the way they had to piss on the chips. But in the end, we ended up going into town anyway, and we had to sit on tables, obviously, because it was like COVID thing. But around loads of strangers as it was. But bearing in mind, we worked together each day. We trained each day. But yeah, we weren't allowed to party together. Very strange. But yeah, it was decent. It wasn't obviously as good as it could have been because of COVID, but it was mint.
It's quite weird, actually. In my office, I'm head of social. I'm like social sec of the office and the rugged team, because you can imagine I'm pretty good fun on a night out, and I can bloody drink. I tell you that right now. It's on my CV. In quote, I can bloody drink, and I've quoted myself on my CV. But even now, some people, most of the office, do say to me on a regular basis, no, COVID. And they'll make me sit on a different table from them because they're all bubbling together.
Well, even now?
Yeah, even now. So we went out last Thursday night and they're like, no, Archie, COVID. You've got to sit on a table by yourself. And I was like, but we work together. They'll be like, no, we're bubbling together. And in the end, they actually went to a completely different pub. And I just stayed in this pub getting absolutely tanged up by myself.
Good night?
Yeah, really good night. She got home. Just got in the mirror and gave it some. I like to get home, get naked, and just get in the mirror, do some bicep curls, and roar like a lion. That's what I like to do.
I'm pitching them in now.
What actually happened then on that night you got in trouble, Lancaster, 2015?
I was young. Obviously, I was, I don't know, 20s. I was quite young, and I got told before going out for the last game for the selection that I wasn't going. So I basically was going to France on the jolly. Boys who weren't playing the game went out for some food and some beers. We had some beers. Obviously, I had a fair too many beers. Found myself in a bar. Didn't close. All I can really remember is my clock saying about 7:30. And then I sort of came through, walking through the hotel reception at like 10:30 in the morning. The story was apparently I fell asleep outside someone's house 45 minutes from the hotel. And they walked out their door and saw me there and put me in a cab and put me back to the hotel. And I rocked in while the boys were having pretty much meal. So it weren't really the best. And I was wearing shoes too, which I went out in flip-flops, so couldn't really tell you what happened.
So you were on England international duty and you got back at 10:30, having passed out in front of someone's house?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That is wonderful.
That's how I met that older woman I was talking about earlier. That's how I met her. That's the first time I met her. I went out on the piss and then came to, and I was outside the house. I got so pissed. And she just came. She came up. She didn't put me in a cab. She put me in handcuffs. Took me in, took my shoes off, and put me in her bed. I can't really go into detail because her husband listens to the podcast.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, she put me in a cab. So again, very similarities.
Very similar, yeah.
Yeah,
similar.
But I walked into the office. I managed to go home, get changed. I walked into the office at 11 o'clock and everyone was on the phone. So my boss was like, where have you been? I said, client entertaining, which I kind of, in a way, had been entertaining, not a client.
Luke, you are known as a prolific try scorer, especially for, your position as hooker. More points than you have appearances for England, including when you scored in all three pool games at the 2019 World Cup. Now, seeing you're in incredible form, you must have been pretty gutted to start the final on the bench. That must have pissed you off quite a lot.
No, I didn't really. To be fair, at the time, it's probably the first year where in the squad, it actually felt like you didn't really mind if you were starting bench or you weren't. It was weird. Like, we're all going in the same direction. As you can tell, the games we played in that World Cup was mental. The final, obviously, we bottled it. But leading up to it was mint. I knew I was going to get time off the bench. Obviously, I'm more gutted now that I didn't start because we lost. But I don't think, starting someone will make you win a game. I wouldn't say I was pissed off. Obviously, I'd have loved to have started. But, I still got some time. So
talking about being pissed off, apparently the lads, come on. I mean, let's try and relive this. You come off, you've just lost the World Cup final. You've nailed New Zealand in the semis. It should have been ours. You're really livid. Probably the lowest point in most people's career. And then you look up and Prince Harry's there. How annoying was that?
What annoying. He was actually all right, mate. Yeah, he's actually the same guy. To be fair, the rules and that, I don't really watch much of. But as a guy, to be fair, he was sound. He's a lot different in the changing room with the boys than he is on around the place.
Do you know?
Yeah, I've seen him at various events, polo in the park.
Yeah.
I've seen him around.
Polo on the beach.
Yeah. I mean, look, classic guy, the poor guy, we've all seen it. Some guys get with girls and they just become absolute saps.
Happened with your mate.
Happened to my mate. Yeah, yeah. Chopsy, really good guy. Live with him. Also, ends up with a girl, doesn't want to go out, starts talking to you about a place they went that was really reasonable for dinner. I'm like, mate, get the fuck out. See you later, mate. I'm going out with the boys and doing bum funnels and shitting in each other's mouths. Are you coming? He's like, no, we're actually going to the Cotswolds for a weekend. And it only costs £150 per person. All right, pack your bags, mate. You're fucking out. Okay, you're out. Get out. And I never saw him again. So that's just his classic Kate Prince Harry, fall in love. He hasn't thought with his head or his heart. He's thought about with something else. I have nothing against it. She's a beautiful chica.
Well, talking about being a prolific scorer, you scored the only...
Back to the podcast. Yeah. Back to the podcast. Yeah.
You scored the only try of the match in that first Lions test victory against South Africa. Led to our, amazing victory. Got us off to a great start. Having lost the second test, annoyingly, your starting spot's taken by the Sheriff Ken Owens. But forgetting the rugby, that trip, because we all have our views on Warren Gatland ruining that series for everyone. But socially, it was the first chance for you to meet a lot of those lads from the other nations. Any good blokes in that group? Because didn't seem that there are that many. But who did you get on best with? Who surprised you? Who was the weirdest?
Majority of boys are right, to be fair. A few of the Scottish lads kept themselves to themselves.
Like who?
Xander was sort of...
Oh, yeah.
They're like a card group. They're all, to be fair, all of them are right blokes. But just, when we got on the lash, which was majority of the nights.
What about Finn Russell? He must have been on the lash.
Nah, he was good, yeah. Yeah, he was decent. Him and, to be fair, Dewey, Hoggy were decent.
Dewey, but the Burger. Did he show you the picture of his penis?
No, he didn't, which I'm fucking gutted about.
Yeah, no, it's a good one. Apparently it's decent.
Well, have you seen it?
Yeah, sort of various WhatsApp groups I'm on.
Oh, brilliant.
I've got a WhatsApp group, actually. I should add you to it. It's called Bums and Guns. It's just a load of guys in the city. We all play a bit of ruggers, but we love CrossFit. We're in bloody good shape. I'll get your number. I'll add it to a group. And Dewey's penis is on there. So you absolutely love it.
Because it was my first experience of a Lions tour. A load of the boys said how like it was way different to the others. But for me, it was mint, mate. It was like all of you and the coaches just in the hotel. We drank both nights, to be fair. There's like maybe one or two nights where they had no piss left in the hotel, so we had to have a night or two off. But it was weird, mate, because we drank so much. I just don't know how we managed to train.
Luke, you've obviously now had to make your move up to Manchester. Have you moved up there yet? You're moving from Exeter, which is, you know, quite a remote part of the world, up to this booming city. Are you excited? Are you nervous? Have you moved the family? What's going on?
Nah, so at the minute I'm staying in Johnny Hill's house. Flat, should I say. Yeah, but he's away. He's away, so it works out perfect. Found a couple flats or like apartments. Found one house, but I'm looking to rent for the first year because it's only a year deal. So I've got missing a kid. I've got a little man. He's 3 years old. So it's sort of because it was only a year deal, we decided to commute, so when I get my own flat she'll come up and then I'll go down like every other weekend.
You don't want the kid getting a northern accent.
Say again? Getting a northern accent? No, it's more because, you know, he's gonna start school next year. Didn't want to pull him out of his nursery, start a nursery or school here, and if I do move and it doesn't work out up here, to have to move the family again. So until I obviously sign here for longer or somewhere else, then that's when they'll move. But at the moment, we're just doing a commuting thing.
Get a helicopter. It'll make the commute much easier.
Yeah, it should do, mate.
Yeah, that's just, yeah, it's only about an hour.
Message your dad.
I'll message somebody and sort of, I'll also talk to Alex Sanderson and just say, look, you know.
Yeah,
they used to get one for Geared at Newcastle, didn't they?
I once went out with Alex Sanderson in London with him, Ollie Barkley, Matt Stevens.
Oh, my God.
And I went to China White's where Lawrence Diallo was.
Yeah.
Lawrence Diallo, yeah.
Yeah. There must have been a lot of.
It's a hell of a night.
A lot of contraband flying around that club.
No, not at all. It's very, very dry, mate. Very dry.
Okay. Very straightforward, I bet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he have chat?
Dylan Hartley.
No chat. Manu Tuilagi.
Chat.
Carl Sinclair.
No chat.
Stuart Hogg.
No chat.
Owen Farrell.
No chat.
Mario Toje.
No chat.
Mike Brown.
No chat.
Chris Robshaw.
Nah, no chat.
Ollie Woodburn.
No, zero, zero chat.
Chat Noel.
Smidge of a chat.
And finally, Ryan Caldwell.
Fuck me, I haven't seen that guy in a while. Don't know, he might have chat now, mate. Well, he's got a bit loose now, I think.
Yeah. He came on the podcast.
Bit of chat now, I suppose.
Right, mate, you absolutely hero. Good luck with everything.
Love and champagne, my friend. Love and champagne.
Thank you very much.
That is numero uno podcast we've done. What a guest.
142
what a guy.
Weeks in and we're still drawing into
his chat was on fire. His chat was on fire. No, good guy. I'm going to send him a voice note on Instagram singing that.
Well, you might as well attach it just the big email. Yeah, well, as a voice
write
note.
That email. Yeah. Actually, that's a really good idea.
Well, Archie, 142, and we still bring out something like that. It's amazing. It reinvigorates you, makes you feel alive. And every single listener is welcome. Yeah. So they better be liking, sharing, subscribing, as you always say.
Yeah, I just want to say 142 is a hell of a knock.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, so it's probably worth me. So do you want me to talk to the listeners
again?
We'll
just have a quick chat.
We've not had enough liking, sharing,
just
subscribing.
Just a quick one and say, no, we haven't.
Okay, can I have some music?
Yeah, sure.
Hello, coins. Hello, coinettes. I do hope this little speech finds you well. All your Q3s are progressing positively. Listen, guys, I've been looking at our data and scanning the CRM system, and it has been notified to me that a lot of you have decided to switch off from liking, sharing, subscribing. Now, if you could see, but you won't be able to see because it's a podcast, but I'm looking at a graph, and the liking and subscribing and sharing has taken a significant turn in July. Now, I know you're all busy, you know, with your various jobs, but now's the time to get back to it. We need to motor. I want to see stories of you going, that is one hell of a bloody pod. C.H.A.T. chat @RigBizPodcast. Let's get some of that going. Let's spread the banter. Other podcasts are taking Q3 off, but not us.
Not us.
Not us. We're not leaving. We are not leaving. We're going to go for it. Can I get a cheer? Can you put in a sound effect a cheer? Because they will be cheering when they're on the tube. They'll be listening to that again. Yeah! That felt good.
That was good.
God, I tell you what, that got me going. That got the juices. You know what I might go and do?
What?
I might just go home now I might do a power hour on the phone at home, just calling through the US.
Even though
Even it's late doors. I'm feeling it.
All right.
Sometimes you just, the juices are going. That's it.
You're feeling
all
lucky.
I need is a laptop and a mobile phone and I can, that's it.
What?
Mate, I'm off. I'm off. I've got it going.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Love and champagne. Love and champagne. Oh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Hey, what you want and what you will, working for your dollar bill. Sad to see the old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. And walking home a child gets killed, neighbors free to shoot at will. Sad to see that old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. And 9 to 5, you know the drill, weekends are a short-lived thrill. Sad to see that old slave mill is grinding slow but grinding still. Cup run it over till it spill. Take until you
back. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
A mochi moment from Tara, who writes, "For years, all my doctor said was eat less and move more, which never worked. But you know what does? The simple eating tips from my nutritionist at Mochi. And after losing over 30 pounds, I can say you're not just another GLP-1 source. You're a life source. Thanks, Tara. I'm Myra Ahmed, founder of Mochi Health. To find your mochi moment, visit joinmochi.com.
Tara is a Mochi member compensated for her story.